Welcome to the I Am Jen Wilson, the Healing Rebel podcast. I am so excited to have Claire back. Claire Bennett, I'm really happy you are, because we've just had a discussion. Claire's name is Claire Bennett, and her business is Temple Divine, and I frequently refer to her as Claire Divine.
I'm not against that. I'm not against that. That's fine.
It's nice. It's nice. I think I actually knew somebody called Claire Divine as well, so that's maybe why the name's in my head.
Yeah.
Claire has a yeah, if you are Claire. Shit, this is how this is going to go today. Lovely, good start. Claire has been on the podcast before, but we're trying to remember. We think it was maybe 2017, 2018, around then. So it was one of the early podcasts, but it would be worth going back and listening to that if you've never listened to our podcast before to get a bit more of Claire's backstory. We'll probably touch on it a bit today. But also, being able to then have this conversation now, go back and listen to the old one and see how far we've moved on with this journey.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah. But recently I did a 12-week beginner's tarot course.
Yeah.
Because I bumped into Claire and Lidl. And I was like, oh, what are you up to these days? And she went, oh, I'm just running beginner's tarot classes. And I was like, sign me up. So she signed up in Lidl. So as any business owners have conversations with people everywhere.
And the queue. And the queue at the checkout.
Yeah. I've had tarot cards for years, and I was saying to you, one of the things I always felt I had to look up the book every time I pulled a card in a bar.
Yeah.
I just couldn't remember them. But at 12 weeks, we've made friends with the cards, we've learned about the different cards, and they've been so beneficial. And one of the reasons that I wanted to bring you in today was to talk about different healing channels that we can use on our journey and why they're beneficial. So what got you into tarot and the other astrology and the other stuff that you do?
Yeah, well, thank you first of all for inviting me on. I love talking to you, and it's great to be back here. Astrology goes back to teenage years, definitely. Reading and the magazines, and the magazines and the newspapers and things like that. It definitely goes back to then, and I definitely identified with a lot of the traits of my sort of star sign. And I suppose over the years, maybe I sort of pushed that side of myself away, and maybe not all people gave it sort of credibility and things like that. People would make fun of it, I suppose. And it just didn't really seem like it was something that was really important in my life at that time. It was always something that was kind of hovering around in the background, something that I was interested in, but not something that I really sort of dived deep into. And what got me interested in tarot, again, over the years, I've had an interest in things on and off. And I was really drawn to a specific deck called the Mythic Tarot deck. And I'd tried to learn with the Rider Waite, but I didn't really connect with it. I didn't really connect with the first one with that deck. So I think a lot of the time with tarot is finding the right deck is really, really important, because the deck speaks a language. It's like trying to read a book in a foreign language, or even trying to listen to someone with a really strong accent. It maybe just doesn't resonate, or it doesn't, you don't quite have that connection. With tarot, it is about finding the right deck, and for me this was about the Mythic Tarot deck, and I was really drawn to an amazing woman called Marina Wallace, and she was using this deck and took a much more sort of psychological approach to tarot, and tarot therapy. We were seeing it as a therapeutic tool, and I was really drawn to that way of working. And through that experience, I definitely learned a lot about myself, but also the thing that tarot has really taught me the most about is the process of life, archetypes that we go through in life. Because in the past, as we spoke about on the last time that we were on this podcast, the healing crisis, the healing crisis, and that being a sort of catalyst for change in one's life, And tarot helped me understand that, because, to realise this is archetypal, this is part of the hero's journey, this is part of life, and really understanding that there's a process and a meaning. Because I had made those connections in my own journey, but to really see, okay, this is like a human life journey that everybody goes through, and it's an invitation. Because that can help us when we're at that low point or at the tower moment. You would talk about this as being the tower moment in tarot, where the man-made tower falls to the ground. He falls to the ground because the foundations are not authentic, they're not stable, they're not strong. It's a man-made tower that's not built, you know, that's about the facade. It's not real, it's not authentic, and it doesn't have strong foundations. So once that tower falls to the ground, we can then start to rebuild. And that moment feels like your whole world is crumbling down, whether it's a health diagnosis, which I know we both had, where we think, what the fuck is happening here? Or whether it's a, you know, a relationship ending or a loved one passing away. We have lots of these moments where it just feels like these external forces are creating this radical change, and it's here to shake off everything.
That the snow globe?
Yes.
Shaking up and all the glitter going everywhere.
Yeah. And once it settles down, we can start to see clearly. We can start to see, we can see, okay, actually, the way that I was living wasn't really working for me. And then we can start to build things up that feel more authentic, that are in alignment. Because in society, we're often trying to, we're being manipulated, we're being, that might sound a bit dramatic, but
because you've got to start work at 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, everything's structured around how society wants it to be rather than about you as the individual.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's like, our lives are being predetermined by social conditioning and what we're conforming to, what other people are around us, because we are social creatures and there's nothing wrong with that. That's how we operate. But when these tower moments or these moments come in to sort of shake things up, we can start to really look at, okay, am I living my life in alignment with my own values? Am I saying my words? Am I thinking my thoughts? Am I speaking my truth? And things like that. And tarot can help with those things, because it really speaks to the soul. You know, it's kind of the language of the soul. And when we go through the journey of the cards in tarot, we each have a stage that we go through, and one follows the other. And it can be helpful to have reassurance that, no, it's not just you. It's not just you, and that there's a reason and that there's a purpose, because when these difficult things are happening in life, it can really feel like a battle, you know. It can really feel like a battle. But when things feel challenging, it's an opportunity for growth, you know. It's an opportunity for growth. So for me, that's definitely been part of the journey with tarot. And I love teaching tarot because it helps folk to understand their life path, their journey, the different parts of life, whether it's an emotional journey, whether it's a physical journey, whether it's an intellectual journey, whether it's a spiritual journey, and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I find really useful using the cards for is when you feel confused about a situation, and the answer is in there, but the beliefs and the conditioning and all the other stuff that's going on, that can stop you from being able to tap into that and reach that. So when you get the cards, you go, yes. It's almost like it's clearing away all the dark so that you can see the next step.
Yeah.
And it's not about, like, my dad, when I told him I was coming, he's like, what are you going to fortune telling for?
Yeah.
And he just didn't understand. Yeah. But through discussion with him about it, because I was like, rather than do what I normally do and be like, trying to defend it, I was like, what is it about that you think is fortune telling and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
But what we discovered at the dinner table was he doesn't overthink things. He's not, he doesn't have that internal chatty voice, he doesn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
He walks about singing and whistling all the time, so he doesn't have this constant chatter going on in his head, because me and my mum and my wee brother were like, no, but you know that voice in your head, and he's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. He just didn't resonate with it. So for the three of us, we were like, oh yeah, oh, this makes more sense. For him, he's just like, no, that doesn't make anything, because he just goes, here's a problem, right? Let me work out, let me work out the solution. And there's no conflict in his decision making. It's just very linear.
It's quite black and white.
Yeah, yeah. Which Ben can take for that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did I not get that?
Yeah, we're all made differently. Yeah, we're all made differently, definitely. I'm really glad you brought that up, because this sort of therapeutic aspect of tarot is important, and the way that I work with people is to help them connect with what's inside of them already. It's not that the tarot cards know the magical answer. The tarot cards are actually doorways to your subconscious mind. That's what Carl Jung said about them. They're doorways to your subconscious mind, and it's you that's choosing them, so therefore it's your intuition that is speaking to you in that way. And they often just act as a mirror, you know, they act as a mirror to reflect back how we feel, how we think. And sometimes when people have that opportunity to kind of see themselves outside of themselves, they'll see themselves in the stories. The deck that I use brings in a lot of Greek mythology. It's wonderful. Lots of Greek mythology and also astrology as well. Really brings in a lot of timeless wisdom, and really helps people to kind of connect with those people that are in there. I'm a hero in my journey, or I'm on this journey of love, and I'm being invited to surrender, to open the heart more in order that I can have deeper connections. And things like that. So it's very much, I think they can provide comfort to people, I think a wee bit of confidence. But when I read with people, I really tune in to where they're at and try to help them to see what they already know from the experience, rather than talking at them and telling them how I think things should be.
Definitely had some meetings like that.
Yeah.
But you go, oh. I've also had, and this has happened on two different occasions with two different people reading, that me and a couple of friends have had a reading from them, not at the same time. They didn't necessarily know that they were connected, but we got the same reading.
Right.
And I'm more interested in what's going on in the readers. I'm like, what's going on in your life that's what you think that I need? Because one of them had been told, if you're going to move house, I have to move over. Yeah. I have no intentions of moving house. Like, that's not on my cards. Mm. And the same person said exactly the same thing to two of my other friends. Mm. You're going to move house. But I know that person had just moved house and their life had all settled in, and they were feeling really good about it. And it was almost like what they were reading was what they were experiencing themselves and projecting that onto you. Which I found quite interesting. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, let's go back, because I'm sure I've got a photograph of the card reading to read it myself.
Why
they thought that's what the cards were presenting at that time.
Yeah.
But I think, and obviously I don't read for other people, but for you, are you conscious of that when you're doing readings for people?
Oh yeah, I don't do fortune telling style. Mm-hmm. I'm a therapeutic tarot reader, just as therapeutically. So I'm not going to say things like, oh, you're going to move house and things like that. Mm-hmm. However, when I do talk about that, it's about the language that you use. The language that you use is important, and reading in a way that leaves the person sitting in front of you feeling empowered rather than disempowered. It leaves the person sitting in front of you feeling, yep, I know the answers and I've got them inside of me, rather than thinking, oh, well, this tarot reader knows more about my life than I do, so I need to go to them to sort of help. Now, other people are important. The role of a leader is important, because I can see you in a different way than you see yourselves. But it is very much about me supporting you to feel more empowered, you know, to realise I do have the answers within me, my intuition is strong, I can trust myself, I do know what's right for me, etc.
Yeah.
So when I'm reading, I might talk about archetypes and talk about, so the predictive aspect of tarot can come in because there is a sequence to the cards. So for example, I spoke about the Tower card earlier on, which is one of the cards that people often feel a wee bit scared of, you know. There's a couple of people don't like the Death card either, right? So one of the things that we do is obviously do some reassurance around that to begin with, but then we can start to see, well, what card follows that in the pack? You know, with the minor arcana, there is a 1 to 10. So therefore, if the person is getting the Ace of Wands, for example, then we know that in their journey, there's an opportunity to move into the Two of Wands after that. And what does that represent for them? That's where the sort of predictive aspect of it can come in. But that's more under just understanding in life's journey, understanding that when there's a challenge in life, this can feel like a low point, but it's almost like a trampoline that can be a catalyst for change. So we have this low point, we sink to the bottom, like something sinking to the bottom, but then boom, that there's a catalyst for change. And life does kind of go like that, but the sort of deeper you go, you can have these big jumps to the opposite end. If you look at a lot of kind of, you know, successful people in life, some of them haven't had a particularly easy childhood, right? So people like Tony Robbins, Oprah Winfrey, whether you like them or not, you know, that's whether you resonate with them, okay? But I'm just using them as examples because they're both very well known, and they both had fairly traumatic childhoods. Mm-hmm. Louise Hay had a traumatic childhood as well, and if you put that. So sometimes when we go to those depths, it really can break us open, you know, it can break us open and give us access to deeper parts of ourselves, deeper parts. You'll know this if you've experienced like heartbreak or things like that. It can sometimes feel that the heart is breaking, but it can break open and it can give us deeper empathy, deeper compassion, deeper understanding for other people who might be going through similar things. That's one of the biggest things that's happened with the whole pandemic and lockdown experiences. It seems to have opened people up more.
I think it's quite polarizing. Some people have really opened, and then other people have really shut down and become very insular. Uncompassionate, but they're definitely either way, but I definitely feel like there's more on the compassionate side, certainly in the circles that I move in.
So this is interesting. Yes, there's the event, and then we can go either way. We can open up more, or we can close down more, and that's our choice. Yeah,
you see that quite a lot in like the fitness, like when people come for Pilates, and maybe come as a rehabilitation because they've injured themselves. And they're, or they're in, they get back pain, or even I used to be a personal trainer, people would come because they got to a weight that they weren't happy with and wanted to lose weight. And like that, people can get to that point of, I feel really shit about myself. And then they can either go and buy more chocolate and make themselves feel even more shit, or they can go, right, I'm going to do something about this and make the phone call and take the action.
That's true.
So you see this in lots of different, not just people coming for card readings or for Reiki or whatever, it's kind of across all the services.
That's true.
Even when you go to the doctors because you've actually got to a point where you're like, I just can't.
That's right.
I just can't anymore.
You need
support, and it's been able to reach out and ask for that help, and that help might come from any of the cards, or it might come from something completely different.
There's so many tools out there, and then something that makes me a bit sad actually is sometimes you see people like sort of poo-pooing other practitioners' methods of working, you know. And I believe that everything works for some people some of the time. And I'm not one of these people that thinks therapeutic tarot is better than mainstream therapies, or mainstream therapies are better than more spiritual things. You know, I think sometimes when people are in these groups, you can sometimes think, well, this is my best way, there's nothing like this. And that's good that you feel strongly about what you do and you've seen the benefits of it and you feel passionate about helping people in that way, but also recognise that there's more than one way, you know, there's more than one way. And so I think it's really important that people find the right tool for them, the right time, with also the right person, you know, because it might just be finding the right, whether it's the right therapist or the right spiritual guide or mentor at the right time for you. And I think that's very, very important, because I think it's really disempowering. I do see a lot of this online where people are, you know, speaking out against other modalities, and I think that's maybe a marketing tool. But I think it's, I just feel a wee bit sad when I read it, because I think this is necessary. You don't need to blow out someone else's candle to make yours shine brighter, you know. And I use lots of different tools of working with people. Something that Tara's quite good at kind of having a conversation and opening things up, and then getting people to a place of, okay, I understand where I'm at right now. How do I want to move forward from there? So is it a wee bit hypnosis or hypnotherapy? Is there maybe some limiting beliefs that we've got, or is there maybe some difficult experiences that we've had in the past that we want to process, or we want to have corrective experiences? So things like hypnotherapy, then we can look at, or is it like an energetic work? Are we wanting to use Reiki as a way of working with it? Is it maybe some energy work that we're looking to do? Or, you know, the list goes on. Or is it like a coaching thing? So it's like finding the right tool for the job. You know, you wouldn't try and says a person who's not Miss DIY, you know. you wouldn't use a screwdriver for a job that required a hammer, and vice versa. So it is about my mum's brilliant at DIY, but I just don't have the patience or the interest. My mum is she's exceptional. She's absolutely amazing at that kind of stuff. But so you're finding the right tool for the job. You know, you're finding the right tool for the job. And that's why I like using a lot of different modalities, because I think that helps, you know, give people a variety. And then I sometimes take people on a journey where I'll use different tools. You know, we'll maybe have scheduling 3 sessions. One will be an energy work session. The other one will maybe be hypnotherapy. The other one will be coaching or something like that. So I think tarot's good for having conversations, for opening things up, and maybe illuminating things that people might not be aware of. But the tarot's only one that I seem to talk about an awful lot recently. It's probably the thing that I've learned most recently, and it's the thing that people are very fascinated by.
Yeah.
There's a fascination about it, and you can get tarot cards and you know, very mainstream shops and things like that now. So it is, you know, it has a bit of a kind of uprising at the moment, which is very interesting. But it is just one thing that I use. I use astrology a lot as well.
I was going to ask about astrology. So we, many years ago, I sent you, and said, oh, I've got my astrology chart, but I don't really understand it. And you read through it, and then you were able to give me some insight and feedback to make me go, oh, right, okay. I actually found the printout of it the other day. I've still got it all these years later. I think that was about 2016.
Yeah.
It was a long time.
That's so funny.
But we spoke about it again when we were doing the tarot stuff. That was a little bit of astrology came in, and I know you've got a separate astrology course. I'm going to do it at one point. But not just, I want to get my head around the cards first.
Of course.
Rather than next shiny object.
Of course. Yeah, I think it's
very wise. So lots of people know what their star sign is.
That's right.
But the star sign is only one tiny part of this whole field of information. Can you talk?
Yeah. Oh, it's just, you know, it's so funny, because astrology was the thing that I was kind of first interested in as a child, as a teenager, and it's the last tool that I've kind of learned. And it's just strange that sometimes, you know, we have, it's not even that we avoid, or the obvious thing doesn't seem obvious, if that makes sense. Because I'm thinking now, I'm like, why didn't I just study this all those years ago, like, properly? And I don't know.
I don't know.
Timing, possibly, but I think sometimes it's like we don't always allow ourselves to have the thing that we want as well. So I think there's a wee bit of what should I be doing rather than what I want to be doing, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or for me, it's just sometimes when things flow in that I just kind of say yes to things as we go along. Anyway, astrology. People know their star sign, and you'll get a lot of people saying, oh, well, you know, my sister's a Leo, and so is my auntie, and they're nothing alike, and all that type of stuff. There's obviously much more than the star sign. So the sun is our local star in our solar system, and so that's why it's called star sign. But you know, we in astrology, we tend to call it the sun sign. We also have a moon sign. We also have a Mercury sign, and a Venus sign, and a Mars sign, and all the planets, Saturn, Saturn, Jupiter, Pluto, Neptune, and Uranus, and also there's some asteroids and things like that. Heavenly bodies. Just the way that we can feel the sun on our skin, I think most people would say that they can feel the impact of the sun, you know, in our lives, and similarly the moon. People talk a lot about on full moons, you know, when we go a bit loony, you know, that
is more possible. The word traditions and what things are sun and moons and that.
The word lunatic, loony, all this comes from the word lunar, from the word lunar. We do accept those things. And in astrology, it's really about seeing that the universe is within us, and that as above, so below, kind of thing. That everything, we're all connected,
mm-hmm.
and these amazing heavenly bodies up there represent different parts of us. Different parts of us. Our sun sign is maybe more like our masculine energy and our personality and what we sort of project out into the world, who we are. So it's an important. It's a very important part of our chart, but there are other important parts as well. If you think about the sun at the centre of the solar system and everything going around it, this is part of the reason why we start with that. And also it's easy because you can look at the start date and the finish date. And when it came back to sort of horoscopes and things like that, in newspapers, it was easier to sort of just categorise. Let's just focus on this one bit. Our moon sign. The moon sign changes every 2.5 days.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it changes a lot, you know, the way that our emotions fluctuate, the moon sign changes a lot. So the moon is our feminine energy. It's our emotions. It's what we need to feel safe. It's a deeper part of it. It's more tender. We might not show everybody our moon sign. The sun sign people will see a bit more, but we might not show our moon sign so much. It's how I often see that our moon sign when we're sort of expressing ourselves, because our emotions will come out in regards to that. Our Mercury sign is the planet of communication. It's how we think, it's how we learn, it's how we process information. So this idea of whether we're maybe more logical and more logically inclined, maybe we've got an air and Mercury. So for example, an air sign, a Mercury in Gemini, and you process a lot of information and do it in quite an intellectual way, and may be able to maybe speak clearly because air is the element of thinking, of sort of logical thought. When we move into the Mars and the Venus, again, this is about masculine and feminine energy. So Mars and Venus. Mars is the planet of war. It's about our drive. What do we feel? What do we feel sort of driven to do? You know, what will we fight for? What will we fight for? We can tell a lot by our Mars sign there. So for example, our Mars in Aries might enjoy competition, you know, might be quite competitive and enjoy competition. And Mars and Pisces will probably fight for the underdog and want to save the world.
Mm-hmm.
That type of energy. And the Venus is also about our what gives us pleasure, you know, what actually gives us pleasure. Because we might have a drive to do something, but with Mars, but if our Venus thing is a totally different sign, it might not give us pleasure, you know. So what we've got a drive to do doesn't always give us pleasure. Now, if those two sync up, that's great. But what you often find is we all have a lot of contradictions in our charts.
Mm-hmm.
this is why we sometimes, I mean, honestly, in terms of understanding myself, astrology has been the best thing that I've ever found, because it's helped me understand, all right, what I think in this way, but emotionally I need this, and this gives me pleasure, but my drive wants this. So it can help us understand our contradictions, it can help us understand our emotional needs, it can help us understand how we process information, how we speak, how we connect, how we, what we've got a drive to do. So those are all the personal planets. When we start to get out into the social planets and the collective planets, these are the planets that are much more sort of slower moving through each sign, and therefore we're talking about peer groups. So we're talking about like everybody in your year at school, or we're talking about generationally, we're talking 10 to 15 years. What's that? What's the sort of essence of that generation? What are they here to learn? We look at Pluto. Pluto's about transformation. So how has that generation transformed? And Uranus again is about sort of like about change as well. And Neptune is about our connection to spirituality and love and things like that. So this is this is really about generationally what each generation is here to experience, how they transform, how they change, and how they evolve. So that's a very brief whistle stop tour of the sort of planets. But certainly, it's the one tool that's helped me understand myself the best. People love personality tests and things like that. Yes. Myers-Briggs.
Done them all.
Myers-Briggs, human design, things like that. And, but a lot of these things are actually based on astrology.
Yeah.
Carol Jung, Myers-Briggs was based on Carol Jung's teachings of archetypes. And Carol Jung's teachings were based, maybe not solely on astrology, but a lot of the stuff comes from it. He did study that a lot, but he didn't tell everybody necessarily because he wanted to be accepted by the scientific community.
Yeah.
So he didn't necessarily tell everybody about that. But a lot of his work was based on tarot cards, because tarot cards and astrology, it's about archetypes, it's about energy. Mm-hmm. It's about energy of, sorry, I'm totally going off one.
Oh, I love it. Just ask one question and then that's the whole podcast on.
All through primary school. Well, this is the thing about, so my Gemini, my rising sign is Gemini. Gemini is the communicator of the zodiac. So this is why talking comes easily to me. As long as I'm a likely person, and I'm talking about things I feel comfortable with. But as a child, every report card was Claire talks too much, Claire talks too much, Claire talks too much. This is the Gemini rising, but it's about recognizing strengths in that, as well as maybe sort of challenging. So I can get distracted and things like
imagine
that.
Imagine they taught that in schools. How much easier would a teacher's job be to know that Claire's a talker because she's got a Gemini rising?
Yeah.
Jennifer doesn't talk because she's, can't remember if I'm Libra or Virgo rising.
Virgo rising.
Imagine we all knew everybody's and we just knew how to communicate. Because I said that to you, we did a Zoom call where we were practicing doing one of the spreads. And one of the women, I don't want to say I was getting triggered by her, but I was like, why? I didn't feel like she was listening or responding in the way that everybody else in the group was. And Claire mentioned something about her star sign, and I went, oh, I understand.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense, because Chris is the same, similar star sign, and I know how he is, and I'm like, all right, that's just her excited energy and her way that she contributes, rather than I'm getting quite annoyed by that. And I felt really bad about it, but then as soon as you said, I was like, all right, okay, then I could completely accept the situation.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It gives you so much more compassion and empathy and understanding with other people. Because you're like, well, of course they're behaving like that because they're Aquarius, you know. And Aquarius is that they're naturally rebellious, you know. They're naturally rebellious.
That's so interesting. My wee brother and my dad are both Aquarius, and they are both so unrebellious. It's not even funny.
Mm.
My wee brother didn't drink until he was 18. Whereas I was drinking at 14.
Yeah.
I'm the rebel of the family, of all my family.
Yeah.
I'm the rebellious son. Yeah, so I suppose that would then depend what their other, like, so their Aquarius is their son,
instead of rebellious, so, I mean, like, for example, I was running a course and I was talking about some of the themes. They'll sometimes disagree with me just for the sake of it, kind of thing.
They're real passive.
Are they?
I want to do the charts.
So it depends on the moon sign, it also depends on how kind of evolved people are. Because every sign has a higher and a lower manifestation. And also depends what other planets are in aspects, because arguably the person who taught me astrology says that the aspects are the most important part of astrology. It's not so much the signs, it's the aspects. In astrology, you have the planets, you have the signs, you have the houses, and you have the aspects.
My mind's blown.
And it's like, if you think of it like a play, the planets are the actors,
right?
The signs are the characters,
right?
The houses are the scenes,
right?
And the aspects are the relationships.
Got you.
So if there's an actor, the actor is, okay, let's go for the moon. So the actor is the moon. The moon then plays the role of Pisces.
Yeah.
Okay. So the moon playing Pisces is going to be different than the moon playing Aries, for example, or Capricorn.
Yeah.
Because they're different. So the moon playing Pisces will be an intuitive moon, mm-hmm. You know. The moon being played in Aries would be a fiery moon, maybe quite an impulsive moon. The house will depend. The houses are, most people don't know so much about houses. I'm not going to get into that, but it just basically refers to the area of, like, whether it's yourself, whether it's your sort of finances, whether it's your communication, whether it's your learning, these different parts of life. Partnerships, things like that, career, things like that. And the relationships are how the planets sit together. So if you've got two planets that are together, so say for example, you know, your sun and moon are both in the same sign, your sun and moon are both in Capricorn, then that kind of amplifies the energy of them. They're like a wee team.
Yeah.
They're together. Whereas if they are in opposition to each other in the chart, then that creates a different type of dynamics. It's a different relationship. The way that we've got different relationships, siblings, friends, lovers, work relationships, things like that, we have different types of relationships with the planets in astrology, depending on where we're sitting. Are they together? Are they opposite each other?
Mm-hmm.
Are they helpful aspects? Are they more challenging aspects? So there's a lot more in relation to that. Yeah, honestly, it goes on forever. I thought I knew quite a lot, and I thought, right, I'm going to do a formal course, and then all these other things popped up, and I thought, all right, yeah, I didn't know about that. I've now just committed to just continuously learning this, so the journey will just keep going on and on and on.
So where then does the wee snippets in the magazines and the newspapers fit in with reality? Like, because some people will go, I want to read the star signs, and a lot of people will do it for fun, but there are some people that will look at it for a seriousness of future telling.
Yeah, well, so when we're talking about sort of future predictions or things like that, we're looking at transits, right? So everything that I was talking about there is like the natal chart. It's the natal chart. So the natal chart is literally when you were coming out into the world, you have any first time. If someone took a picture of the sky to see where all the planets were, that's called your natal chart.
Yeah.
Your natal chart. What then happens is obviously the planets keep moving, and as we go through life, the planets will sometimes circle back to the same place that they were when you were born. So, for example, it's called the Saturn return, which can be quite a hard...
Is it like at the sort of every 7 or 9 years or something?
That's
like
that? Every 8 years.
Oh, I thought it's longer.
So Saturn's one of the bigger planets. It takes a long time to go down. So Saturn return, so we get a solar return every year. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Right, so that's your happy birthday, your solar return, because the sun comes to exactly the same place as it was when you were born. So that's your happy birthday. Other planets, that, like the Saturn return, it's like every 30 years. And the planet, Saturn's a planet of hard work. It's a hard, it's a planet of restriction.
Okay.
It rules Capricorn. Okay, so all the things that Capricorn are known for being hardworking, disciplined, very serious, those types of things. So this brings us round to that stage. And then what happens is that we experience a Saturn return, so we can, it's like, It visits us again, so we might be experiencing some of those lessons again. The Saturn return can sometimes be quite a challenging few years from what age, I think it's like 28 to 31, something like that. We can experience some
big upheavals.
Yeah, life lessons and things.
That's when I got divorced.
Is it?
And when I moved to Australia and then moved back from Australia in that,
wow,
that 3 year window.
In that 3 year window?
Mm-hmm. So I went out in 2006, came back 2009. I came back when I was 30, so yeah.
So that's literally the same thing.
Yeah.
Shake that tower. So that's a huge amount of change in a really short space of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Changing country.
Changing
twice.
Yeah. And then relationship status, yeah.
Yeah. So there's not a lot of life lessons to learn around that.
So, yeah. So many.
Yeah. And not in an easy way. You know, sometimes we learn things and it can feel quite simple or straightforward, but with Saturn it can be, we can sort of learn the lessons the hard way.
Yeah.
Which sounds like you did.
Yes.
That's the Saturn return.
That's over. Until the next time.
Well, you'll get there before we reach 60. So that's something to look forward to. So this is what happens to transits. You know, for example, the planets could be transits. So it's not just when it comes into the same place. For example, the sun could be transiting your Mercury, the sun could be transiting your Venus, the sun could be transiting your Mars, or Pluto could be transiting your sun, Pluto could be transiting your Venus. If it's the personal planets, then it's going to affect you personally. If it's the social planets or the collective planets, it's more the sort of peers and collective. But when these planets come in and they're in the same place as a personal planet, that's called a conjunction. But there's also other relationships depending on the angles, as everything moves around. So this is like transit, you know, we're talking about sort of transits in astrology. That's kind of the, when we can start to look into when would be a good time for me to start a new business, or when would be a good time for me to go on a date, or when would be a good time, I don't know whether I mentioned this or not. Right, I've said it now. I once went on a date with an astrologer years and years ago, who would only meet me, it was like, you know, we have to meet at 2 o'clock, we can't meet at 3 or 4. For goodness sake. It didn't, that they're being ruled by the planet. That did not go anywhere. Not for that reason, for a multitude of other reasons, that did not go anywhere.
That was just one thing.
That was just one of many, many, many things. That didn't go anywhere. However, you know, I think it's one of these things, some people take things to the nth degree, you know. Have a good relationship with these tools. Don't have a codependent relationship with these tools.
Yes.
You know, don't want, oh God, am I going to have macaroni and cheese or lasagna for dinner? You know, let me make a decision. That's the emperor, that's a great card. We keep him out. And he is here to remind us that we are powerful and autonomous. We can cater. So you want to have a healthy relationship with these things, because we can get really codependent, you know. Mm-hmm. We want these things to help us to trust our intuition, not to give our power away.
Yes.
You know?
I know certainly when I start to learn things, I can be a bit like that. I can almost be a wee bit obsessive.
Yeah.
I've got to check the cards, or I've got to do my lymphatic drainage, or I've got to do them, and I get really uptight about it, which then is a negative effect because it makes my whole physiology more stressed, which then causes more inflammation, which then causes more problems. So it's how, but I have, through using all these different tools, I've realised that I do these things. So I can then unwind that, and I catch myself when I'm starting to go down that rabbit hole of, hang on a minute, put YouTube down, or whatever the latest thing is that I've got fixated and fascinated on. It's like, take a breath and step back, dip in and out, and use it when it's useful, rather than, as you say, that codependency of whichever thing that it is that you can get fixated or fascinated by.
Yeah, that's definitely not just you. I think a lot of us can be like that. Especially if we have a powerful experience where, you know, we have an aha moment or we find something. As human beings, we are curious creatures. We are looking for something. You know, which is sometimes we look for that thing outside of ourselves. So it's about seeing these tools as ways in which we can cultivate a deeper relationship with ourselves, rather than seeing them as tools in which we can give our power away to something that's sort of outside of ourselves. That's why I do think all the cards as being like, okay, these are doorways to your subconscious.
Yeah.
And it's not that these messages are coming from somewhere else. Yeah. These messages are coming from you. And when you look at that card, what do you see? Each time you look at a card, you're going to see something different. For me, the colour blue is really sticking out in today. But another time, it might not be. It might be the mountains I might be drawn to. It might be the lightning bolt. It might be the globe. It might be it. It might be his beard. It might be anything. Yeah. So it's really about paying attention to what's sort of speaking to you. Because all these tools, they're really good fun.
Yeah.
They're really good fun to use. But we want them to be affirming, not limiting, as well. You know, with astrology as well, we don't want to get into, oh, well, I am this. You know, it's like when you really dive deep into astrology, you can see that you've got access to all of it. You've got access to all of it and see it as a tool of expansion rather than restriction of how you should be behaving. Because astrology, there's parts in astrology that are like, we look at the shadow self, maybe parts of us that are abandoned, and we can look into some of those parts. There's a placement in astrology called Chiron, which is the wounded healer, the eternal wounds, and so that's an attentive place that we can use to look into healing, as well as Saturn again, because that's the planet of restriction. Jupiter's the planet of flow and abundance, so that's where life feels easy. And Saturn's sometimes where life feels a bit hard. So that's
something that's just coming to mind, is being able to use this as a tool. So some, like, I know some people that, like, oh, I would never date a star sign. And I remember somebody kind of laughing when I said Chris was a Capricorn. I would love to be a fly in the wall in your house. And I was like, how? But when you have information about somebody, like I said before, it gives you information about that person so that you can find a way to make things work, or so that you get a better understanding of each other, rather than I could never date that person because they're whatever star sign.
I think there's a lot of that. I think sometimes we use things as defense mechanisms. You know, when relationships can be very triggering, relationships can push us out of our comfort zones, and sometimes we look for barriers to clear it. Something happening,
there's an alarm going off. Oh, it's over here. It's like, can you hear an alarm? Excuse me.
It was just a little birdie singing. I think sometimes we can use things as excuses. There's definitely, I would never, I'm in a relationship, I'm a really happy relationship, but I wouldn't discount people for their signs, but I would definitely have, there's definitely some signs that I would be more
challenged by
open to and more challenged by. Yeah. And it's not that there's good signs and bad signs, but what might be a good sign for me might not be particularly great for you.
Yeah.
So there's definitely easier matches and harder matches, but remember, someone's sun sign is really just one part of the puzzle. Yeah. So the sun sign might not be the best match for your sun sign. However, it might be a good match for your moon sign. It might be a good match for your Mercury sign, which is communication, which is very important in relationships. Yeah. It might be a good match for your Mars and your Venus, which is about love and sex, which is very important for romantic relationships. So it's really about looking at the whole chart and the whole person, and also not letting astrology clouds things too much. Sometimes you're better getting to know the person rather than trying to analyse and figure things out before, and giving the person a chance to show themselves, because all the energies can manifest really differently, someone in Aries could be quite argumentative and competitive, or they could just be really independent. It's not going to be, it depends how much work people have done on themselves. Yeah. Not every Aries is very argumentative. But they might be on a particular occasion, but it's
they might be with themselves or with the person after they've had the conversation.
That's true.
They run it in their head. They might not do it outwardly, but they might run it in their head later.
Yeah. So it's just about taking everything into balance. But in terms of relationship astrology, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
When we're in the realms of how do people, any relationship, but romantic relationships are really interesting. How do those people talk to each other? How do they love each other? How do they express love to each other? Sex drives, that's in that very, very interesting. Not just drives, but preferences and what people enjoy, and your moon sign, what makes people feel safe and loved, because this sort of links into love languages and things as well. Different people need things to feel loved. So for example, a moon in Virgo is going to have quite different needs than a moon in Leo, a moon in Virgo, service is important, and for a moon in Leo, attention is important. Moon and Leos need to feel seen in order to feel, give them attention, and that's what we need, and so on, so it's very, it's very, very interesting to look at what people's needs are and how we can meet them. I think astrology can help you learn how to love people more, how to understand people, understanding someone as a form of love as well. If you commit to really understanding someone, that's important. And using it as a tool to understand you, understand them, understand your needs, understand their needs, understand where things sync up, understand where things maybe don't quite sync up, which isn't every relationship.
Yeah.
There's not a perfect astrology match that's perfect 100%. There's always going to be, because you've got all these different bits. The sun signs might be.
Are you from twin flames then?
Well,
have you seen that documentary on Amazon?
No.
It's wild.
I've got kind of a mixed feeling about is the idea about the souls split.
Is split and go down, and then you meet your perfect match, whether they want you to be their perfect match or not. And this documentary is about this couple that are coaching people into relationships, but they're basically creating stalkers.
Right, okay. No, I've not seen it. What's it called?
Something desperately seeking.
God.
Desperately seeking something. I can't remember that title. Escaping the Twin Flame Universe or something like that. It's wild. I do love an expose documentary.
I'm not sure. I mean, I can't say for certain whether those that exists or not.
When people manipulate it though, that becomes dangerous. If two people meet and that's what they believe, that's one thing. But if it's two people that are being, if you think that guy over there is my twin flame and that guy there is not interested in you.
Okay.
And
okay.
then these coaches are saying, but you just need to keep pursuing them to convince them.
That's, oh, wow. That's not, that is not the way to move forward. That doesn't sound enough. I'll need to watch this. I'll need to watch this. So on Netflix,
I think it's on Amazon.
Amazon.
Yeah, right, it's okay. On Amazon Prime.
I will need to check that out. Wow.
Yeah. But then that's a way where people have used a tool in a negative way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Way. And I think it's important to be aware of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How is this properly landing and being able to take a step back? Like I've said, sometimes you can get so deep into it. That's what happened with these people. They got so deep into it and they were feeling good about themselves. But then further down the line, it was like, hang on a minute, this is just not quite sitting right. And it's like having that keep coming back to you, to trust you, to trust your feelings.
Mm. That's very interesting. I will need to watch that.
Yeah.
I will need to watch that. Yeah, because I think people do get caught up on... People can have quite vivid imaginations, you know, and can get quite caught up on fate and destiny and perfect person and soulmates and these types of this type of language. I think sometimes maybe that is helpful, but maybe sometimes it's not. It's not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't tend to use that type of language when I'm working with people. I don't tend to use that type of language. I might use karmic, but sometimes there's placements in astrology that might suggest a karmic connection.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, different people understand those terms differently as well.
Yeah, so I say because in yoga the term karma is about your comeuppance, it's about your service and how you present in the world. This is your karmic journey to be of service or to whatever it is that you're here, that your soul's purpose is here to do.
And surely there's an idea of, yeah, like karma as in, is karma not just what you put out you get back?
Can't be. If you're putting out love,
yeah,
you're coming back love. If you put out hate, you're going to get paid back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a way of, yeah, I mean, that's,
because I think in some way interpretations of it is how you behave in this life is how your karma's going to present in the next life, like Buddhist reincarnation is like you be a good person, otherwise you'll come back and have a tougher time the next time. Because I'm like, what did I do in my last life?
Yeah.
But then that kind of belief makes you think that there's something wrong with you, that, and it disempowers you.
Yeah.
If you think, oh, my past life did bad shit, so that's why I'm experiencing a shit time now, it's completely disempowering. Whereas if you're like, I'm experiencing a shit time now, I don't really know why, how can I make this better? How can I come back to my authentic self? How can I rebuild in a better, healthier, happier way? Whatever your tower breaking down has presented to you, how do you heal from that? How do you move forward from that?
So rather than it being about blame and shame, it's about, okay, listen. I mean, sometimes we need to learn things a hard way.
Yeah.
You know? It's like sometimes we need to, rather than someone saying, don't put your hand in the fire, you know, sometimes you just need to do that. Oh, yeah, that.
Don't touch it, it's hot, and you automatically touch it to see how hot it is. Yeah.
And I think some of us are more inclined to do that than others. I think there are people that are maybe a bit wiser that can learn from other people's mistakes. But there are some of us, myself included, I think sometimes we want to experience it first to see, oh, I wonder what will happen. And to kind of do it that way.
Yeah.
That want to, maybe it's more people that are more kinesthetic, that need to experience it themselves rather than just learning something intellectually.
Yeah. I've accidentally placed my hand on a hot plate a couple of times. Oh. I used to, in my old flat, I used to have a cooker that had the iron ring. When it's actually hot, you didn't know it was hot, so you touch it. This is getting hot. Stuck your finger to it a couple of times.
Oh, ouch.
You would have thought I'd learned after the first time. That one has red hot colour comes up, so I know that it's on. Do not touch that.
That will save
a lot. Save a lot of the burnt fingers. Anything else you want to talk about today?
We've covered a lot, haven't we? We've covered a lot of tarot, a lot of astrology.
Yeah.
I think that's everything for now. I think that's everything for today.
It's amazing. Thank you so much. Where, if people are listening and want to know more about work that you're doing, where is the best place for them to find your information?
Yeah, the Temple Design, Temple Divine Facebook page is obviously facebook.com/TempleDivineGlasgow. We have a lot of information on there about things that are happening. There is my website, which isn't as up to date, but clairebennett.scott, clarebennett.scott. Scott. You can go there as well. I am on Instagram under Temple Divine Glasgow again, Instagram Temple Divine Glasgow. And if you are near Springburn and you want to come in and see us, even if you're not near from Springburn, you can come up. We've had people come up from England for my sessions. A lot of people come from kind of Ayrshire and that neck of the woods as well, as obviously in Glasgow. People are welcome. We're coming up for our 2 year anniversary. In that building. Obviously, I've been doing this work for a long time, but in that particular building in Flemington House, which is lovely. It's got a lovely big red staircase. Such a cool
spooky building.
It is a spooky building. It's a spooky building.
Perfect for your business.
And so that's in Springburn. So you'd be very, very welcome.
Could you do some of your courses online as well?
Yes, yeah.
Online as well in Sam Pearson.
Thank you. Yes, yes. I do run courses online, but most of it is in person. But I do run stuff online. I do run stuff online. So if you are interested in tarot, astrology, or Reiki as well, do teach Reiki, then send me a message or send me an email. And I would love to, if you just talk about these things and let me know. I do live readings every Tuesday on my Facebook profile, actually. I should probably tell you about that. I've been doing that for 3 years now, every week, pretty much.
Amazing.
So I've been very consistent with that.
Very good.
That is on my personal Facebook page, which is Claire Bennett. So that is facebook.com/AuthenticClaireBennett. You can go there every Tuesday at 2 o'clock. Sorry, at 7 o'clock. However, the next few weeks, I'm not going to be there because I'm learning, I'm going on a course for the MISPA, Mercury School for, sorry, Mercury Internet School for Psychological Astrology. I'm studying there. So I'm not going to be on live for the next few weeks. But I'll be back on the 5th of December, I'll be back.
So when this podcast comes out, you might be back anyway.
I might be back. Yeah.
I think it's a couple of weeks. It might actually be that week that...
Oh, that would be perfect. 5th of December, 7 o'clock, and I do feel like we can start with a 3-card reading for the collective, and then we go into individuals. I could pull some cards today.
Let's do it.
Do you want me to just do
a D-card?
Yeah. What we could do is we can pick 3 cards. We'll get you we're going to pick these for the collective, right?
Yeah.
This is for the collective, so we can pick them. Put them together, and then people can choose whether it's 1, 2, or 3. Maybe we should have done this earlier on, but anyway, we've done it now. Now's the right time. So let's choose 3 cards. So this is for the collective. This is for the collective. Right, I'm going to choose that one for the collective. Oh, right, okay. Okay, right. You go
for the
third one?
Yeah.
Okay, right, you choose another one. We're going to go for 4.
Oh no.
Right, okay, that's great.
Is it the end of the world as we know it? I feel like there must be a terror card there.
Well, no, but let's have a look. The first card, which is the one I pulled, was the Two of Swords. Okay. The Two of Swords. This is a card about the mind. This is about how you are thinking. In this card, the person can seem like they're maybe not wanting to see things because they maybe want to avoid conflict. The eyes may be closed. The ears may be covered. We may be thinking, oh, I just don't want to look at it. Now, what often happens when this card comes up is that we have forgotten how powerful we are. We've forgotten about the power of our intuition. We've forgotten about the power of our minds. This is a reminder that whatever it is that you're avoiding looking at, you are powerful. You can face it. And you are stronger than your circumstances. You're stronger than your problems. You're stronger than your challenges. So this is an invitation to maybe deal with some of the things that you've been putting off dealing with. The next card is the Strength card.
Yes.
You pulled this one. Do you want to talk about this one? Or do you want me to talk
about
The Strength card, this is Hercules or Heracles. He's in a deep, dark cave with a lion. He has the task of killing the lion with his bare hands. The lion is magical. The lion doesn't have, the skin cannot be penetrated, so he must kill the lion with his bare hands. Apologies to any vegans out there. This is about taming the beast within. This is about us finding the nobility of the lion without its savageness. This card can come up when we're being invited not to lose our temper, when we're being invited to don't abandon your anger, okay? It's like, this card is about not coming in and throwing things around or smashing things up or shouting at people, but it's also not about just pretending that you're not angry and just smiling through it and abandoning it and then swallowing that anger and that fire down in order that it eats yourself from the inside out. This is about acknowledging your power, acknowledging your strength, because this is the card of strength. Again, both these cards are quite similar. It's about remembering that you are strong, that you are powerful, your emotions are strong and powerful, your spirit is strong and powerful, and having that, the nobility of the lion, that he is the king of the jungle without this sort of savageness. Yeah? Because sometimes we go from one extreme to the other. We go from the outbursts to just, you know, total repression. We want to have a healthy, this is about being assertive. Both these cards are maybe about us speaking our truth, because we've got another wonderful card, which is one that I chose as well, right? So this card here, again, maybe doesn't look the friendliest, however, the Nine of Swords is a card of reassurance, believe it or not. It's the card that says it's actually not as bad as you're thinking. Kind of similar to this one. These ones have got kind of similar energies, actually. The Nine of Swords comes up when we might be overthinking, when we might be, the mind might be running wild. We might be thinking about things that happened in the past. Oh, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. What does that person think of me? In reality, people don't really think about other people that much. We're too busy thinking about ourselves, you know? So whatever, people are probably not talking about you or thinking about you, and they're probably thinking about themselves. So the Nine of Swords is about acknowledging that our mind is not always our best friend, and really remembering that we are more powerful than our thoughts. So maybe some of the thoughts that we're having are not serving us. This can be an invitation for maybe a wee bit of self-care, a wee bit of therapy, a wee bit of counselling, something like that. Meditation, this can be an invitation for meditation or yoga or Pilates or anything that can help you, anything that can help you with your minds. And finally, you pull this card as well, which is a wonderful card. We've got this Ace of Pentacles, a new beginning. The Ace of Pentacles is full of power, because this is the physical manifestation of your thoughts, the physical manifestation of your dreams, of your desires, coming into the existence and the world. Something tangible. This is the moment where maybe something that we've been thinking about or dreaming about actually starts to happen. You've been invited to go on a journey. This journey might have hard work involved, but it is what you've asked for. So really interesting that the two cards that I chose had a similar vibe, and I actually feel like these two cards have got a similarity as well. So this is interesting. Let us know which cards resonate. Let us know what you're taking away from them. So all these cards together, we're talking about a time of mastering your mind, remembering your power, and being open to receiving all that is good in the world.
That's a really nice reading.
That's what we've got.
That's really nice. That's really nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I love that. I love your energy when you're loving that tale. Like, you're just...
I get excited.
So I love it. So please do check out Claire on any of our platforms. Let us know what you think about that reading, if you've got any questions, and I'll see you on the next episode. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.